Well, I was just thinking this morning, I never dreamed when we started this little hangout way back in the last week of January that this thing would become what it's become. And here we are. We haven't missed a show, have we, guys? Let's see. February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Man, oh, man. 9 months we've been doing this. And I don't know about you. My faith's growing. To be able to get in here and to dive into the word and apply it to what's going on around us is really, really, boy, has it sharpened me. I hope it sharpened you as well. And we are coming into, wow, what a time to be alive. What an absolutely unbelievable time to be alive. For those of you who weren't aware of it, we did want to direct you to a program that we did last night, a special program that I did with Larry Nichols, the former Clinton insider. We did an hour program with him that's archived at our website, CoachDaveLive.com. It was just a one-on-one interview with Larry. And by the way, we're going to do another one today. We're going to do another live interview on the huddle here with Larry Nichols, beginning at noon Eastern Daylight Time today at noon. Another live one. Larry Nichols is very, very sick. He is so sick that literally, he doesn't know if he'll be alive on Tuesday. That's been his prayer, that he would make it till Tuesday. And a great conversation I had with him off the air last night. He said, "You know, Coach, I was so involved in screwing this country up that I just want to try to do everything I can here before I pass out to make it right for my children and my grandchildren." And every time his grandkids come over, he's got two grandkids, 7 and 5. He says every time they leave, it's a goodbye, Grandpa, because I just don't know. And he is that sick. He's a treasure trove of information, the Clintons, and he wants to talk to us this afternoon about what America Hillary 2017 would look like. So I invite you to join us. That's at noon today. Get your lunch hour and try to join us. A lot of crazy stuff going on. And I'm saying, you know, we have to be very careful, because you can't believe everything you hear. And I'm hearing a lot of stuff. I'm sure you guys are hearing a lot of stuff. And a lot of it seems to be just mud thrown up against the wall. A lot of it is distractions and trying to take you down different directions. And so it's we just have to pray for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit to direct us in these crazy, crazy times in which we live. I got some good stuff to I'm sorry, I got a little frog this morning. Got some good stuff to share with you this morning. And I want to, God, can you believe the election's Tuesday? It's like I heard Michael Savage say last night, "Please, Lord, put me out of my misery. Let's get this thing over." All you do, wherever you go, that's all everybody is talking about. And wouldn't it be amazing if, as we discussed yesterday on the show, that the church directed as much attention over the next 4 years to try to radically transform this country, if we focused as much attention into repairing the church, repairing America. Can you imagine 4 years from now where we might be? But that's not our want. It's not our way. I had a conversation with one of the guys in the queue yesterday, and I won't say who it was because, you know, didn't ask me if it's okay to share. And his eyes are being open. He says, "Coach, you know, man, oh, man, I go to the church that I go to in this big church, and the pastor's just always skirting around everything. It's so not important." He said, "There's 12,000 people in that church, 12,000 people in that church." And he said, "We're not getting the truth, and I don't know how to get the truth," and yada, yada, yada. So I think after this, JR, this will make you happy. One of the things that we have to do after this is I believe we have to begin a laser beam focus at the pulpit. Anybody have a better idea than that? Unless we awaken the church, and Larry, don't say it. We all know what that is. Unless we go out and pull some of those people out of that mess, and get them engaged and understand their desire and their need to get involved. 4 years from now, we're going to be right back where we are. And I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and you'll think this is crazy. I said, thank God we didn't get Ted Cruz. Now, Ted Cruz is probably a more righteous man. We could get in that debate. But there's no doubt that Donald Trump, what Donald Trump has done, Lance Wallnau said he was a bowling ball. What he has done to the American political system is, it's beyond, man. It's beyond what we can even understand. And Big Rich, can you think of any other man that could have this, dare I use the word, the stones to do what this guy has done? Good or evil, whether he's a plant or whether he's not a plant, whatever, to go back out there every day and continue to fight like that. Been something to watch. Anybody want comment on that?
He's shown, you know, I tell people all the time, normal man wouldn't be able to stand and do the things he's done. I mean, no. He has just uncompromisingly stood. And whether he pulls it off or not, he's at least went into the fire and came out the other side unburned. I mean,
yep. And we can say that he's a stalking horse, all that stuff, man. I find all that hard to believe. I think I'm going to say this. Hang on, Larry, just a second. There's something inside that guy. This is not a normal American human being. Just isn't. And I don't know what that is, whether it's I don't know what it is. Go ahead, Larry.
What he's done here in South Carolina is he has exposed all of the fraud, supposedly, for the people, conservative Republicans. You would not believe the radio ads and stuff by prominent Republicans here in South Carolina that are couching it. They're laying the groundwork for a Trump defeat, and it is sickening to watch them kowtow and fawn all over the existing system as being their God. It is pukey.
Larry, that's good. That is their God, isn't it? It is their God. And you know what? If we could look back, unfortunately, you can't go back. Roger, can you imagine if 60, 90, 120 days ago, all the Republicans had gotten behind Donald Trump? Can you imagine the machine that they could have built? And all these candidates who, you know, now they're starting to come home, starting to come back to the Republican Party because they're beginning to see that maybe he has a chance to win. And why have they been so much against him? Because they didn't want him to win. But now it appears that maybe their efforts have fallen short and they want to be on that bandwagon. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch. And so they're worried about losing the Senate and losing the House. It didn't have to be that way. JR, it didn't have to be that way, did it? Did it have to be that way? Other than we make the president of the United States a king, and we think we're electing a ruler rather than someone who presides over a government, and we have this guy that steps in and says, I'm gonna, you know, unleash Christianity. That's what he said. Man, there's something really evil going on.
Hey, you know what I see? What just went through me was, you know, the strength of Donald Trump is the church. He hasn't spent years in the church being compromised.
Well,
I mean, so he's just off and running.
Oh man, Rich, that is so good. I don't know if you heard yesterday's show. I heard Michael Savage say that the greatest strength and the greatest weakness of Christianity is forgiveness. He says that's the greatest strength and the greatest witness or weakness, that Christians always want to forgive. They never want to go for the juggler. They never want to bury their enemy. They always want to forgive. Yeah, Michael.
Coach, Larry Nichols was always trying to get a hold of Trump and tell him things. And I tried to tell Larry a few times that this is a spiritual dimension that is involved here. And Larry would talk about some things, and within a few days, Trump would bring it up. Either he had ears to what Larry was saying, or which I tried to show him, it's a spiritual dimension here.
Yes, yes.
Trump is in touch with something. I'm sure
he may not even know it. He may not even know it, Michael.
Right.
Because listen, I hope this doesn't sound arrogant. I don't care if it does. I get ideas that just come to me, and I speak them, and then 3 weeks later, bang, it happens. And I can't take any credit. I'm not, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying, I don't even know it's happening. There's just something that's downloading into me that I'm not, I didn't even turn on the download button. I don't even think I turned on the computer. I can be driving down the road, listening to something, looking at something on the computer, and bang, so, like what I'm going to share with you right now. Are you ready? This is so good. Let's go to Luke 10 real quick. I don't know if this is from the Lord, but I think it's profound. I hope it's from him, because it would be so much cooler if it was profound and from the Lord. But I want to paint a picture here for you. I'm in Luke 10, and let's begin in verse 25. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. Okay, I want to paint a picture for you here. We have several different characters in this story. We have a man who's fallen into a ditch, right? He's bloodied and beat up. So we have him. And then we have some people who pass by, cross over the other road, and don't deal with him. And as we're going to see, these people are one of him. The guy's laying in the ditch, these people are one of him. And they don't, one's a religious, we'll get to it. And then along comes a guy who becomes known as the Good Samaritan. In fact, we have Good Samaritan laws. But we don't even really think very deeply on this. Do you know what a Samaritan was? A Samaritan, to just kind of put it in just a real easy understanding, he wasn't one of them. He was from a different country. He had been supplanted. He had come in out of nowhere, this Good Samaritan. And so the people didn't like the Good Samaritan because he wasn't one of them. And so they got all these religious Jews and all these religious people who are watching this man laying in the ditch, and they're going by, and this Good Samaritan comes along. He isn't one of them. He's not a righteous man like everybody else. He sees a guy laying down in the ditch, and he cleans him up and fixes him up. Let's go through this story here real quick. 10:25. You going to pull it up before me? Yeah, you got it there, Jared. You're a good man. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. Wow, enemy there. Preacher right there, Weaver. Certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered and said, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. There's the two greatest commandments together. And Jesus said, well, that's a great answer, man. So go out there and live like that. But he willingly, to justify himself, said unto Jesus, okay, well, who's my neighbor? We still ask that question today too, don't we? And Jesus answered and said, well, let me tell you a story, boys. A certain man went down into Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Hey, can I interject something here? Let's say this certain man going down and falling among thieves, let's say it is the American government. Let that sink in a minute. Certain man went down from Jerusalem to Washington, D.C. and fell among thieves who stripped the government of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving America half dead. You following me, boys? You following me? And by chance, there came down a certain religious leader. When he saw him, he said, well, that's a mess. I don't want anything to do with that. I'm not going to deal with politics. He passed on over to the other side. And then likewise, a Levite, a member of the Republican Party, he came by. And when he was at his place, he came and looked at him and passed on by the other side too. So, well, they look at that poor America down there. Boy. So people we'd expect to come along and help, they didn't want to help because that guy laying down in there was all banged up and bruised up and bloodied up. And they said, well, he's beyond help. This is one of their own, is it not? This is one of their own. The Levite and the Pharisee, they both recognized him. He looked down in there. But then along came a certain Samaritan, a stranger, a guy that they never would have expected. He came, he saw him, and he felt sorry for America. I'm taking poetic license here, okay? And he went over to America. He bound up America's wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And he set him up on his back, on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he dug into his own pocket and paid for his campaign. And he said unto the shop owner, take care of him. And whatever this boy needs, when I come back here, I'll take it out of my own pocket. Jesus says, which now of these three do you think was the neighbor unto him that fell amongst the thieves? So here's what I see. I see the Republican Party won't help America. I see the never Trumpers are too righteous to get dirty down there and climb to clean this guy up. And so here comes this guy out of nowhere, and he does the job on his own dime. I'm not saying Donald Trump's the Good Samaritan. I'm just painting a picture. As, remember, guys, the Lord never does what we think he's doing. He never does it our way. And you can see pride so much at work now, because many of the members in the Republican Party and many of the never Trumpers are standing up now and defending that wicked witch on the other side. It's unbelievable to watch. It's unbelievable to watch. Because why? Do you have any idea how much these guys have invested their careers into destroying Trump? Yes or no? Somebody give me a thumbs up. They've invested their entire career. George Will, some of these pundits. That if Donald Trump wins, they will never be the wise pundits that everybody said that they were. I heard Glenn Beck yesterday. I never listen to Glenn Beck anymore. I heard Glenn Beck trying to make an excuse for himself yesterday about it doesn't even matter. It's almost pathetic, because you know what's happening? The thing's changing, and people are beginning to see that there is an underground earthquake taking place in America. So I want to throw that out to you today with the possibility that maybe Donald Trump's the Good Samaritan. Maybe he's the guy that didn't fit all the bill that everybody else wanted to, and here he is going to come along and bandage up America. Larry?
Yeah, I wanted to say a couple of things about that passage of scripture from Luke that you just read that a lot of people don't understand, because they look beyond what's written there, and they look to what they've heard over the years.
Gotcha.
Number one is, this is not a parable. Jesus specifically says a certain man.
That's right.
So this is not the parable of the Good Samaritan. Uh-huh. Number two is, the Samaritans considered themselves Jews. The Samaritans adhered only to the Pentateuch and the judges and things like that. They didn't go along with the Talmud and the rest of the Jewish leadership stuff.
Religious
so the
stuff.
Samaritans were basically the red-headed stepchildren of the Jews.
There you go.
So that Samaritan laying in the ditch was literally the spiritual brother of the man that took the time and the opportunity to go and minister to him. So,
amen.
Once again, it's all about the brotherhood. It's not about the world at large.
Amen, Larry. Michael.
The other thing too is that the Samaritans did practice the Torah. They read the Torah. They were a practicing organization of the Jewish ways. And so what Jesus is pointing out is, it's just like Trump. This Samaritan was practicing what he had learned through the Torah.
Amen.
And he was doing it. And that's what Jesus was trying to get across. You're judging things by some other standard other than what God has actually asked us to do.
Yeah, you're right, Michael. The Samaritans, the Torah was the Pentateuch and the books of Judges and all that. It's the Talmud that the Samaritans didn't adhere to.
So the point that I'm trying to the point I'm trying to make is, pride always gets in the way. Pride's, maybe the two guys that walk by, the Pharisee and the Levite. Maybe they looked down there and said, "Yeah, he got red hair. He ain't really one of us." We don't know what it was that caused them to go, not only ignore him, but to walk on the other side of the street. They wanted nothing to do with this man who was laying down there bleeding. And then this other guy who comes along, who's not a bloodline Christian, so to speak, right? He hadn't been a Christian since his birth. This guy comes along, this interloper comes along and says, "Man, look, golly, I have to go take care of this brother of mine." And so we're seeing a lot of pride being coming out, a lot of pride of all these guys who have just laid everything on the line to be anti-Trump. I see it on my Facebook page. I can't even tell you. I just can't even tell you. And they're too prideful to admit. Like we heard James Carville say the other day, hey, when the situation changes, when the facts change, the situation changes. Well, we're a long way away from a year ago, aren't we? For all these cruisers and these never Trumps, we're a long way away. And here we see sitting right before us the absolutely most corrupt candidate to ever run for president of the United States. And the Levite and the Pharisee are crossing on the other side saying, no, I'm sorry, he isn't really one of us. Am I reading that right? JR, am I reading that way?
The biggest thing the church does is being filled with judgmentalism towards those that don't know what they know.
That's it, brother. They don't know what we know. Anybody want to jump in? JR, I called you. I didn't mean to shut you off. Anything to say on that one?
Go ahead.
The Samaritan did something.
And paid for it on his own too, Rich. He did it. God so loved the world, he did something. And the Samaritan saw the condition of America and did something. Whether it was right or whether it was wrong, we don't know yet. The Samaritan paid his own way, paid the bills, did it all to serve other people. And it appears to me that we got a guy who's doing that, and the Pharisees and the Levites don't want anything to do with it. Massive, massive battle going on. Anybody else?
Yeah, Coach.
Yep.
What chaps my backside so much is that the senators and the House of Representatives and everybody in Washington, D.C. is supposed to be doing what we, the people, tell them to do.
Amen.
And what we wish for and vote for. And they are so arrogant that they want to do what they want to do. And I think it's time that some people start getting some bruises.
Amen, brother. The leaven of the Pharisees, too. Yes, go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, out of 400, and there are 435 members in the House of Representatives that are constitutionally responsible to protect the country from corrupt politicians and corrupt officials appointed by corrupt politicians.
Amen.
Not one of those 435 individuals has initiated officially an impeachment proceeding against the biggest crook that's ever been in the White House. And there's a bigger one headed on the way if we don't watch out.
So Larry,
those 435 have upheld their oath of office and fulfilled their oath to defend the Constitution, thereby defending the people of the United States from these corrupt people. Okay. There's not one of them that deserves to get reelected. Not one.
So let's get to it. Why? Why haven't any of them done this?
Amen. Because the Christians won't stand up.
Well,
one of the things that Larry talks about is the corruption of money. And all of the lobbyists and everything, all that money in Washington, D.C. keeps all their pockets lined real deep. And that's why we have, like Larry is saying, nobody has guts. They all have money in their pockets.
And so Larry Nichols would tell us, which he did yesterday, that they got dirt on everybody. That's the real issue. They've got dirt on everybody. And he even mentioned Gowdy by name. He said, Gowdy's on a leash. They'll let Gowdy go so far and then no further. And Gowdy knows where that leash is. He knows how far he's able to go. And so that brings back the whole idea of the dialectic, right? That Gowdy becomes the false opposition. And we all say, oh, yeah, Gowdy's getting him. Gowdy, yeah, yeah, yeah. Trent Gowdy, yeah, he's getting him. Has he got anybody yet? Has he got anybody yet? No, because he's not supposed to get anybody. He's just supposed to bark. He's supposed to run out on that leash and jump up like my big German Shepherd and bark and bark and bark. And we all say, yeah, man, that watchdog, he's barking. And there's not a daggone thing that has happened.
They use psychology on us.
They do. And we buy it.
And I ain't smart enough for it to affect my little brain, because I see black and white, right and wrong. And I had some people yesterday tell me that I was a redneck, Trumper, gun-toting, God-fearing, abortion-hating person. I said, you got that right. I said, so as long as you know where I stand, if you're on the list and if you have betrayed America, you are the type of people that needs to fear what's coming down the road.
Amen. So listen.
I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Listen, guys, so this has to become, Robert the Deplorable, Sarge just said. Listen, guys,
Amen.
Please hear me. Listen. This is what on November 9th, the day after the election, we have to begin to tap into this. We know right now there are millions and millions of men who agree with this. Millions of us. Millions of us. And we have to figure out a way to keep this group moving forward towards righteousness. As I shared yesterday or 2 days ago, Roger, 3/4 of Americans, 71% of Americans claim Christ. 3/4. 3/4. And so what are we going to do? I don't want to get into the debate about who's the church and who's not the church. We know this. Those people sitting in those buildings think they are the church. We have to pray to the Lord and ask him to give us strategies and techniques and opportunities to be able to keep these people who are beginning to awaken and wiping their eyes, keep them focused towards 2020. We have to look down the road and not be distracted by everything around us and be laser beam focused to get these guys up and get them moving. Now, we have to be careful because the Republicans are going to want to come in and co-opt it again. They want to come in and steal all the momentum and pull all the people down the highway. And that's our opportunity is so great. And the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom, fellas. We have to seek the Lord, say, Lord, give us a plan. Listen, guys, I'm going to be 68 at the next election. 68 in the next election. 2 elections from now, I'm going to be 72. How much time do I have left to really make a difference for my grandchildren? And I look at all the guys here. There ain't no spring chickens here other than Dylan over there. He's a spring chicken. But other than that, we're all, man, oh, man, guys. We have to move from rhetoric to action. We have to move from it. You know what I was thinking? I was listening to a guy. Yeah, Kevin, my spirit tells me don't focus on what she will do, but focus on the spirit. He's shaking America right now. I was watched a pastor yesterday. Listen to this mentality. He's a good guy. He's making a good point. He's a good point. He says, listen, we make it our practice not to endorse candidates. Dummy! What are you talking about? So you let all those people come into your church and they don't know your position. They don't know where you stand. So, well, we just speak about the issues. Oh, well, great. Do you tell them who holds what issues? Do you stand in your pulpit and say, listen, forget everything else. One of those candidates is a lying, thieving baby killer. And if you walk in this church and that's your candidate, don't ever come back. Is that being said? We know. We're not allowed to. We're under the 501c3, and we're not allowed to get involved politically. Tell that to the black churches, will you?
Dave?
Yeah.
Well, what I see, though, more in the church is they believe if they come out like that, it will hinder the message of Christ and salvation.
There you go, man.
And I haven't worked my own way through that yet, but I don't think that's correct. I don't think that Christ stood in the culture, in the society, and took positions.
Hey,
we
Roger,
follow him.
Roger, tell that pastor that said that's afraid it's going to hinder the message of God, of Jesus and salvation. Tell him the message of Jesus and salvation is being taught by the majority of the churches, a bunch of lies anyway, that misleads
people
and makes them think they are Christians when they haven't had enough information to actually become children of God.
Thank you, Larry.
That message of salvation is being hindered and change it to the truth, and then you might listen to that guy.
Go ahead.
The spirit tells me you better be careful. If you're living by the 501c3, there is a shakeup coming, and that is not going to protect you from anything.
You know what? You know what else? I heard from 3 guys yesterday. The power of the internet's unbelievable. Power of the internet is unbelievable. I had 3 guys yesterday send me emails, say, Coach, thank you so much for waking me up. I've been seeing this all going on around me in my church, and I leave my church and I want to throw up when I leave my church. And Coach, you have given me some gravel in my gut to begin to stand up and push back against this stuff. JR, that's the way that it has to happen. That is the way that it has to happen. We have got to become the pebble in the shoe of our pastors. We have to do it. We have to do it. And yes, they're going to throw at us, oh, there's seven things that the Lord hates. Ooh, six are that he hates and seven are an abomination. And one is to sow discord amongst the brethren. Well, you're the one causing the discord. You're preaching lies and you're ignoring what's going on. You're leading the sheep to the slaughter. You're falling down in a ditch and you're dragging others down in there. We have got to go after the leadership. We have got to begin to call them out. I say, oh, Coach, you got to do it in a loving way. Well, tell me how the hell that works. How do you do that one? Well, I was the coach and the players were screwing up. I corrected them in a loving way. And they said, Coach, you don't have the authority to do that. He's God's anointed. Said, well, I'm anointed to be a thorn in his flesh. Yes, Michael.
Isn't that what Jesus did? Didn't he come and challenge the leadership and the authority? He was telling them they aren't leading in the right direction. And what did they do? They killed him.
Hey, Robert, by your own account, you said, that you weren't smart enough to get deluded or whatever, but let's figure this one out. Rob, how do you spell truth, Robert?
Jesus Christ speaking to me.
How do you spell it? The word truth.
T-R-U-T-H.
Yeah, but you go to a church and every one of them will tell you it's spelled L-O-V-E. What a bunch of dummies.
Luke chapter 22, verse 36.
Get him then that for you. Hey, Robert, hang on. Luke 22.
Luke 22, chapter, verse number 36. Is at the Last Supper. And people keeps talking about the love of God. He came as a baby, you know, the first time, but this second time when he comes, he's bringing hell and judgment with him.
He sure is.
And he said, then said he unto them, but now he that has a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, the word of God that he left with us. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Now what do I need a sword for if I ain't going to will it in the name of Jesus Christ? And defeat the devil's children.
Amen,
brother. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this. Oh, Lord God, help me, because I'm ready to stand in the gap and give it all.
See, here's the problem. Forgive me, Lord. Here it is, fellas. You're hearing the heart of Robert. I'm going to tell you something. Here's what we have to be dangered of. There are guys who feel like Robert that ain't righteous. You know what I'm talking about? There's guys that feel like Robert that ain't righteous. And what's going to happen in America is those unrighteous Roberts, they're going to reach the point where they've had enough. Scripture tells us that was lawlessness will abound. Would you agree that lawlessness is abounding? Scripture says when lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. See, there's something about judgment, sin and judgment, that touches a man's heart. When we see the wicked punished, it builds our faith. Do you understand that? When we see the wicked get off, it builds anger and resentment inside of us. And what is going on right now is God is using Donald Trump to expose all of this wickedness that's going on around. And that's why people, their hearts are rising up and they're saying, finally, finally. And why are they not looking at their pastors to do it? Because their pastors won't even speak against people living together in their own daggone church. They don't have enough courage to do church discipline in their own church. And people look around and say, well, Pastor Jones, he's a good guy, but he's a softy. He won't handle the hard issues. Give me Trump. That's what's going on.
They do the same thing with the homosexuals. Just allow them in. They're such beautiful people. They have a way of loving one another.
Amen.
And it's, see, fellas, it's all falsehood.
It's all about the full counsel of God. Larry, the gospel isn't spelled L-O-V-E. That's one component of the gospel, but that is not the full gospel. And so we are allowing sin to enter into our churches. The world is becoming the salt of the church, and the church is no longer standing up and resisting evil. So therefore, it's lukewarm. The salt's lost its savor, and the love of many is waxing cold. That's why, JR, our target is the church. That sounds awful, doesn't it? That sounds awful.
That sounds like truth to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Coach.
Yeah, Dylan.
You guys sound so mean.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, sounds like hate, doesn't it, Dylan? The truth sounds like hate.
Yeah, I don't know if I can join this huddle anymore. It's just, yeah, it's just too much for me.
So, Dylan, how old are you?
24.
So in 10 years, you're going to have a little baby. And what kind of country do you want him living in? See, that's what we have to think about. In 2020, what kind of nation is going to be? What are we going to be voting for here in 2020? If we think that if we don't arise now and we allow that demonic spirit to deepen its claws into the American way of life, if we think that we can give that thing 4 more years and that we'll fight it more effectively in 2020, I want to cuss. How stupid are we? How stupid are we? And so we want to separate the church and the state, which is what we said. 71% of us are Christians, and we can't even get abortion outlawed. Are you kidding me? Are you stinking kidding me? We can't get abortion outlawed. We can't get marriage restored. We can't do that. Are you kidding me? Why can't we? Because we are accepting it in our own damn churches. We're not mad about it in our own daggone churches. Adultery in our churches and lying and thieving and sin in the church. There's sin in the camp. And so then we wake up and it's time to vote again. Oh, I can't vote for that sinner. Forgetting what I used to be, the condition of my heart. Are you kidding me? Who am I? See, listen, JR, when I got saved, I was confused for about 2 years. I was saved. I didn't have any idea what it meant. I'd had a face-to-face confrontation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but I had so much garbage in this brain that it didn't just get swept out immediately, right? Doesn't the Word tell us that we are to wash us with the water of the Word? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the way you think. Thinking is a process. So I got saved in early 1988. I didn't really become a Christian, not really, till 2000. When this whole thing began to really make some sense to me, and I saw how I could take my faith and where I could plug it in and how it could make a difference. I had a conversation yesterday with this same guy I'm sharing with you. This is good. Thank you, Lord. You guys know what multi-level marketing is? Amway. We all know bunches of them, right? That's not a bad word, by the way. Not a bad word. We've all dabbled in that. The one coin. Multi-level, right, Larry? One coin's multi-level. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Guys, listen. I love my wife so much. I was having one of those pity parties one time, just me, myself, and I, three of us got together, the unholy trinity. We got together and feeling sorry for myself. Said, oh, Lord, I got all this great anointing, and I got this word down inside of me, Lord, and nobody wants to hear it, and they're rejecting me, and why is everybody always picking on me? Right? Y'all been there? And I said it too loud one time, and Michelle heard me. She came over, and she looked me in the eye. She says, what are you talking about? She said, do you have any idea the impact you're having? And she started rattling them off. You know, what about Jim? And what about Tom? And what about Mark? And what about Bill? And what about Tony? And what about James? And she starts rattling off all these guys who I had impacted, who were now actively fighting on the front lines, and I saw, Lord, Christianity is the ultimate multi-level marketing. And what we have to do, even though we want our business to go wide, we need our business to go deep. We need our business to go deep. What the Lord has shown me is my downline. Oh my God, what a downline I have. You have a downline? Build a downline. Build a downline. Quit worrying so much about going wide, because our experience will teach us this. Most people get into multi-level marketing, aren't committed to it. And they get in and they're in for a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, and then all of a sudden they don't return your phone call. Somebody say amen, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what's going on with me? My phone's ringing all the time. And who's calling me? My downline! My downline! Coach, I got somebody else who wants to get in this. What do I do, coach? What am I supposed to say here? Build your downline, guys. Right where you are, build your downline. Because ultimately, when we do that, we're going to have, whew, I got goosebumps on that. Somebody give me a thumbs up or an amen. Say, coach, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable, isn't it? Isn't that unbelievable?
Amen. To
build a spiritual downline. Dylan, build a spiritual downline. Don't worry about those guys who don't see the big picture, don't understand it. You understand it. Keep spreading the salt. Keep passing the seed, and somebody's going to bite. Say, oh, I get it. And now you'll start a downline. Don't worry. Don't worry about how big and broad. Just the guys on this queue right now. Right now, the guys on this queue. If we were to send out a clarion call, say, listen, I need every one of you in Columbus, Ohio on November 17th, and everyone came. Do you have any idea the hell we could raise? Do you have any idea? Just us. We could drive by all the churches in Columbus, all those 5,000 seat sanctuaries and all the music and the puffed up hair and the skinny jeans and all their programs and all of that stuff. And we could take the guys just in this queue right now. And if they would come, we could go turn the stinking world upside down. Somebody say amen.
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 Am I missing it? Somebody help me. Am I missing it?
No. John the Baptist.
And we want to go to war with those who are dressed in soft clothing. They're sitting in king's houses. They don't want to go to war. They don't want to go to war. JR, I spoke to Mark Harrington yesterday. What a warrior. Are you kidding me? He's down in Florida flying tow banners of aborted babies down in Florida. You know what he said to me? I said, coach, how can people sit on their butt? We got 6 days left. How can people sit on? How can the church not be involved? How can the church be sitting around watching this thing go on? How can pastors not be talking to their people? How can this be happening? He really wasn't asking me for an answer. He was lamenting. And yeah, Mike, go ahead.
The power of the Spirit only needs an army of one. If you are that one and he's in you, you got a lot going for you.
Yeah, but we don't believe that though, Mike. That's why our problems are what they are, because the devil's kids know the power of the devil. We talk about the power of God, but we don't really know it. We don't really know it. We say we believe it, but as Larry so aptly tells us, it's faith toward God. It's faith toward God. And we don't have that faith toward God. See, we believe, nevertheless, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Do we think he's lying when he told us that? Is his will being done in the earth right now? Is it the will of God that babies would be slaughtered? Is it will of God that women and men would share the same bathroom? Is it the will of God that marriages crumble? Is it the will of God that government takes 40% of our possessions? Is that the will of God? Is it the will of God that this smut out of Hollywood is being shoved down the sewer pipes of Main Street America? Is that the will of God? Is it the will of God that these phony churches that we have, who are nothing more than money change places. Is that the will of God? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Is it the Lord's will that we have a baby killing, law breaking witch to sit at the highest spot. Is that the Lord's will? Somebody, I'm asking a question. You say, well, Coach, it's become his will because we're under judgment. Yeah, I get it. But is that his will? Is that the way that he wanted it to be? How can we so cavalierly say the Lord's Prayer and do all this stuff and not believe it and not live it out? The devil's kids are now casting spells.
Oh. You hit the nail on the head when you just asked that question. How can we so cavalierly say the Lord's Prayer? Too many people, especially Protestants, think that the Lord's Prayer is a piece of junk because the Catholics made a ritual out of it. Let me tell you what. Jesus told his disciples, says, if you know how to give your children good gifts, how much more do you think your Father is going to give you something good? Yep. And when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he didn't give them the Lord's Prayer. He gave them the disciples' prayer. He gave them a way to pray that is far superior to any other prayer and way to pray on the face of the earth, because it came from God the Father. And when we start praying and understand that we're praying for God's will to be done, and then trust him to know what that is, then we'll start seeing some reaction. As long as we're praying for specific stuff to do this, do that, we're saying, I know your will better than you do. Yeah. How about let's just do like God says, pray for his will and mean it.
Go execute his plan so his will can be done. The two things have to be together, see? We have to do the two things together. And most times, hey, guys, why do they call it faith? Because it can't be seen. You can't see at the end. And so you have to walk by faith. That doesn't mean you have to walk blindly. Hey, faith isn't hope. Those aren't the same things. Faith isn't hope. I don't hope the Buckeyes win. I have faith that they're going to win. And when they don't win, it's like a heartbreak because it wasn't hope. I just knew that they were going to. How could they lose to those guys? So I look, Jesus goes and dies on the cross and says, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye into all the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always till the end of the earth, and then sit on our asses and not do anything. Expect the Republicans to clean it up. I mean, come on. Come.
I want to amen what Larry said. And the fact is that Jesus taught us that prayer. Jesus lived the prayer because he said everything he did, he saw the Father doing. And so when does he go to the garden when he's got the biggest moment of his life before him? Amen. He says, not my will, but your will be done. So Amen. Even there, even though he was in touch with the Father's will, he was still dying to himself to let the Father, his will be done.
But he got up and he went to do his Father's will, didn't he? He said, Lord, take this cup away from me. In other words, Lord, I know this is your will, but I don't really want to do this. This ain't going to be much fun. And finally, after he wrestled and gave in to God's will, then he went and executed God's plan. See, we want to pray for God's will, but we will not execute his plan. Looks like Jenny wants to get in here. Jenny, you're on the air, dear.
Hi, Kerry. Thanks for letting me jump in.
Are you kidding me? Glad to have
you. I was listening to your interview with Larry Nichols.
Yeah.
And I found that very fascinating that I was like, and I was speaking from my experiences. I was in my 20s. So I had didn't understand politics, but still don't. But to that 20-year-old or to the person that doesn't think that there aren't going to be consequences for our decisions today, we're all living proof that we, you know, obviously got to our knees. But to that 20-year-old that was like me when the Clintons became, you know, who they are today, through state politics, and I still don't. So, how in the world are we going to be able to convince, not just convince, but try to communicate that to that 20-year-old that doesn't think it matters? Because I didn't think it matters, and now I'm 45 and I'm realizing, like, how much we didn't know and how much we still don't know.
Right.
But the consequences of our choices, if we don't meet our needs today, and we, because I know there's churches right now that it's like a dear witness. You try to talk to them, churches, and they're so far removed. You know, they don't know. They don't talk about the issues that you're talking about. But, I mean, there's got to be some way that.
So Jenny, this is the same thing with Amway. One of the things they teach you in sales is not everybody's going to bite, and the word that you have to learn is next, right? Next, next. Hey, Christians, we got to get that idea. We got to go next, man. We got to stop trying to convince people. We have to speak the truth to them and let the Holy Spirit convince them and go next. Go to the next guy. The first guy bites, reel him in. But if he doesn't bite, go next. Don't stand there. You will never convince somebody into the gospel. Only the Spirit can draw them. Plant your seeds and don't get bogged down and realize when you're casting your pearl before swine. God bless you, Jenny. Thanks for joining us. Dylan, did you have something you want to say there, bud?
Yeah, I was just going to say is, you know, a guy who's, you know, only 4 years removed from his 20s, all I can say is,
Jenny.
You just keep after it. I like what you're saying about next, but I would say with a lot of my friends who I thought were apathetic, I mean, I just hung out with them enough and talked to them enough that now they've really woken up to whether it's political things or things of the faith. You just got to keep at it. Too many people my age just don't want to deal with that conflict. And they also don't think you can still be friends afterwards. Well, if you show that genuine spirit and you show that genuine friendship and loyalty, you can have some really great conversations.
So Dylan, yesterday, guys, you'll love this. Oh, this is a show I could go. Oh, my goodness. I could go on forever. So yesterday, I had to go down to our county administrative building for a building permit or whatever the thing was. And the county administrative building here where I live is where the early voting center is. Now, one of the things that they tell you is no signs, no insignias. You're going to come in here and vote. You can't. You got to dress this way, right? So I got out my Make America Great Again hat, big white red hat. You've all seen them. Roger Weaver gave it to me. And I put on my Hillary, elect Hillary for prison shirt. And I got to that place because I wasn't going to go vote. I was going to go to the administrative building, right? Same building, different, same hallway, different door. I walk in there. That line has to be 100 yards long. And I'm walking down through that. It's like the Red Sea party. They see me come down. And I know there were a lot of Hillary voters there. But I want to tell you, hair was growing on my chest as I walked down through the middle of them with my Make America Great Again and Put Hillary in Prison shirt. And not a damn one of them said anything. But they all read it, huh? What is it about earnestly contending?
Same way wearing mine, but and I know other guys who have felt the same way. But man, that's what scripture should make us feel like. You know, that's what should grow hair on a man's chest more than anything else. But in this backwards world, sometimes I feel like I get more excited about politics.
Yeah, well, listen, I love the battle. I love the battle. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but baby, let's get it on. When I get home, I want to have a scratch on my face and a scab on my knee. We're in a war. Why do we want to be live in comfort? This world for me is winding down, baby. It's winding down for Larry Nichols. He's hoping he makes it till Tuesday. Do you think he's scared right now about who he's going to offend? Why are our pastors so... Oh, my goodness, the average pastor. Maybe this has something to do with it. Just saw this one. The average pastor in America makes 85 G's. So you can serve the Lord by making 85 G's and going to the hospital and visiting the nursing homes and writing nice sermons. Or you can go out and stand out in front of Planned Parenthood and you ain't going to make 85 G's doing that, see. It ain't going to work. That's what it comes down to. The love of money is the root of all evil. Right? Jesus said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, loved not their own lives, even to the point of death. We love our lives too much, see? Hey, listen, I love little David, my grandson, more than I love me. I promise you I do. Little Reese, little Macy, and little Mia, who's coming in a month. Are you kidding me? I would do anything for them. Anything for them. I want you to share this with you because it's the truth. right in the middle of that interview I was doing last night with Larry Nichols, right in the middle of that interview, fear came on me. You guys know what I'm talking about? You ever had that happen? You ever had that blanket of fear come on me? And I'm thinking, they're going to kill me. I'm giving this guy a platform. They're going to kill me. And then I thought, well, I'm going to die anyway. My life's in the Lord's hands. If I get killed because I was talking against the Clintons, well, my string ran out. I'd rather have my string run out like that than laying like my mother-in-law in the Alzheimer's bed, laying in there just existing. Guys, we're at war, man. We're at a dangerous, dangerous point in America for the sake of your children, your grandchildren. JR. Can't hear you yet, bud. You're still muted. Still can't hear you. There you go.
Got it. I want to remind everybody about last call tomorrow, 10 a.m., MinutemenUnited.org, MMUnited.org. But you had mentioned, I was in sales. When somebody says no to you in sales, that's just a temporary state of mind that they don't know they're in, because you're going to turn that no into a yes eventually. They just don't know enough to say yes yet. And we have to take that attitude. We do that when we talk about salvation. God did that with me. I said no to him several times, but he kept after me. Thank the Lord he did. But again, don't get discouraged because you get a no. As a matter of fact, consider that to be an encouragement, especially when you turn that around.
So JR, getting people saved is a goal.
Yes, sir.
But it's not my focus.
Okay.
Do you understand the difference? It's a goal, but it's not my focus. When I go to the abortion clinic, I don't go there and say, oh, if I can just get that lady saved. That's not my goal. It's not my goal. I'm going to go advance the kingdom of God. And as I go advance the kingdom of God, her salvation is a part of that advancement of the kingdom. If I go there just to get her saved, I just give her a little edge. I just give her. See, that's what we do in our churches. We give them just a little piece of the gospel. We get them to bite on that. And then when they get in the boat, they say, whoa, huh? Stinks in this boat. That's the great mistake we've made. And we have elevated. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Think of this. David's asking God, what the heck is it about men that you would do this? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? What's it all about, Lord? And I'm going to tell you something. It's about a lot more than your own personal salvation. Boy, that won't preach. I'll preach it, but you won't hear that. And we got people coming into church to get saved because it's all about them. It's all about them. We're not having people coming into church, getting them saved to advance the kingdom of God. That's where our message is wrong. Hey, noon today, Eastern Standard Daylight Time, Larry Nichols, part two. He's going to tell us Hillary 2017, what America is going to look like if Hillary Clinton gets elected in 2017. Love for as many of you to join us as possible. And we're just Johnny Appleseed spreading a little seed. Got a minute left. Anybody?
Hey, Coach, I think about the second of the greatest commandment, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Every guy here, one thing we have in common is we hold ourselves accountable to the truth of God. Amen. Amen. We love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. So if we love ourselves, we're going to love, we are going to hold ourselves accountable to the truth, right?
Amen. Amen.
Why don't we hold our neighbor accountable to the truth? We're supposed Amen. To love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I have offended more Christians with that verse than any other. They will not hold themselves accountable.
They don't want it. They don't want it. That's right. The church won't hold them either. Jared?
Rich, I've had this exact conversation with my mom. And read Psalms. Every Psalm, what does David start by saying? Dear God, judge me. Judge me, God, to make punish me if I'm doing wrong. And if you have that mindset, you'll act the same way in love. You know?
It's incredible. Amen. Oh, I wish we could go another hour. We could, but I just want to keep you hungry, you know? Want to keep you hungry. Larry Nichols at noon today, Eastern Daylight Time. Otherwise, have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday, same bat time, same bat channel.